Good day, and welcome to the Fondul Q1 2020 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marius Dan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss the Q1 2020 results and the April NAV development. Johan Meyer, CEO of Franklin Templeton Investment Management U.K. Bucharest branch, as investment manager of Fondul Proprietatea, Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, and I are pleased to host today's call. The Q1 2020 results report can be found on the fund website in the investor relations section, and the presentation that we will be discussing shortly was also sent out to you earlier today. The slides are also available on our website at www.fondulproprietatea.ro in the results presentation section. We will have a 30-minute Q&A after the presentation, and that being the agenda, I turn to Johan to start off with our presentation.
Thanks, Marius, and good afternoon, everyone, and good morning to those joining us from the U.S. and Canada, from many more home offices than before, I'm sure. I trust everyone is doing well and is safe under these highly unusual and trying circumstances. I'm pleased to share with you today the most important highlights of the first quarter of 2020, as well as the NAV figures for the end of April. I'd like to start with slide two of the presentation, where we highlight the key facts about the fund. At the end of April, the fund NAV was 9.5 billion RON, or $2.14 billion, and the NAV per share reached 1.4561 RON per share, a 16% decrease compared to 31 December 2019, due on one hand to the registration as a liability of the $0.0642 gross dividend per share approved by the fund shareholders in the 28 April annual shareholders meeting, and on the other hand, a result of the negative impact of the coronavirus pandemic on economic activity and global capital markets. The discount to NAV as of yesterday's close was 20.08% on the Bucharest Stock Exchange and  21.4% on the London Stock Exchange. On the right-hand side, you can see the evolution of the fund's adjusted share price and discount since the fund's listing in January 2011. The share price had a strong performance in the first 2 months of the year, reaching a record high of 1.38 RON per share on 14 February 2020. The negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic led to a significant drop in the fund's performance in the last month of the quarter, so March, in line with volatility experienced in local and international markets. Moving on to slide three, we show the fund shareholder structure as of 30 April, which shows, compared to the structure as of the end of 2019, a decrease in the holdings for the GDRs held with Bank of New York Mellon and for foreign institutional investors, and a corresponding increase in the holdings of remaining institutional investors in local shares and also in treasury shares. In the first quarter of the year, we completed a tender offer for 200 million shares in order to accelerate the current buyback program of 800 million shares. In March, we also received the shareholding notification from NN Group for reaching just over 10% of the total voting rights. Moving on to slide four, we show a summary of the NAV share price and GDR performance since 2011 and the evolution of the fund's average annual discount since its listing on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. The NAV total return in the first quarter was down 16.3%, while the total return for the local shares was down 8.3%, and the return for the GDRs was down 11.7%. Year to date, the figures look slightly better, but still down. The NAV total return was a negative 12.3%, local shares down 2.4%, and down 5.1% for the GDRs. The COVID-19 pandemic generated a severe decline on the financial markets around the world, as we know, impacting the fund and its portfolio significantly. We are, as always, committed to continue our efforts towards protecting the shareholder value and implementing the necessary measures in accordance with the investment policy statement to address this volatile environment. Our proactive investor relations program continues online during this period, organizing numerous video and conference calls with current and potential investors of the fund. The investment team also continues to work closely with the management of the portfolio companies and to support them in identifying the most suitable actions to address the current challenges and protect the company and the portfolio's value. On slide five, we show the main detractors for the first three-month period of the year. OMV Petrom registered the largest negative performance in the fund's portfolio, as the oil prices have experienced a sharp decline due to the pandemic and the lack of an agreement regarding production cuts. Oro, also listed, saw a 44% decrease of the share price in the first 3 months of the year. Given the current context as a result of the pandemic, the fund has performed an assessment of the related impact on the valuation of unlisted holdings in the portfolio. KPMG Romania has assisted with the preparation of an analysis of multiples evolution between 30 September 2019 and 31 March 2020, and using the updated multiples and the same methodology and computation as in the latest available valuation reports, the values for the 12 unlisted holdings, accounting for roughly 99% of the total unlisted portfolio, have been updated as at 31 March 2020. The total impact was a decrease of the unlisted holdings by 13.1%, or roughly 1 billion RON, in the 31 March 2020 NAV compared to the end of the previous month. Therefore, the unlisted holdings in Hidroelectrica, Bucharest Airports, and Solrom are also among the bottom performers of this period. We continue to closely monitor the evolution of the financial markets and that of the specific industries the unlisted holdings operate in. And for each of the NAV reporting dates, on a monthly update of the multiples analysis will be prepared, and the valuations of the unlisted holdings updated accordingly. The fully updated valuation reports for the 8 largest unlisted holdings will be prepared with the assistance of KPMG, with company's financial data as of 31 March 2020, including all relevant subsequent events until the reporting date, such as dividend distributions, and will be available for the 30 June 2020 reporting. Moving on to the next section, we are going to give an update on the fund's portfolio. On slide 7, we show the portfolio structure as of the end of April, so 74% in unlisted companies, 24% in listed, and 2% in net cash and receivables. The net cash and receivable position as of 30 April was $29.8 million. On slide 8, we show the listed versus unlisted split of the fund's portfolio. The largest listed company is still OMV Petrom, while Hidroelectrica is the largest overall holding. I'd also like to highlight that we published today the fund's detailed statement of investments as of 31 March, which is available on the fund's website in the investment section. On slide 9, we present the top 10 portfolio companies as of 30 April, representing now over 95% of the fund's NAV, while Hidroelectrica, OMV Petrom, and Bucharest Airports represent over 75% of the fund's NAV. On slide 10, we show a summary of the Q1 2020 preliminary financial results for some of the main portfolio companies. As expected, we already see the negative impact of the current environment in the company's financials, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on this on the main holdings in the following slides. Moving on to slide 11, some updates on Hidroelectrica. So according to Hidroelectrica's management in Q1, the company's performance was as follows. Turnover of 848 million RON, which is down 14.3% year-on-year. EBITDA of 595 million RON, which is down 19.5%. Operating profit, 468, down 17.3%. And net profit of 430 million RON, which is down 13.6% year-on-year. Electricity sold in Q1 was 3.6 terawatt hours, a 1.1% increase. Out of which electricity sold out of its own production reached 3.3 terawatt hours compared to 3.2 terawatt hours in Q1 2019. The average realized electricity price was 203 RON per megawatt hour, down 16.2% compared to Q1 2019 due to the current regulations that obliges the company to sell over the period 1.1 terawatt hours at the regulated price of 102.5 RON per megawatt hour, compared to the 0.2 terawatt hours sold at the regulated price of 111.6 in Q1 2019. The company's net cash position was 2.3 billion RON as at the end of March. On slide 12, we present the main updates on OMV Petrom, the fund's second largest holding. The clean operating result was 21% lower year-on-year. Consolidated revenues increased by 12% to Q1 2019, supported by higher volumes of natural gas, which is partially compensated by lower commodity prices and lower sales volumes of electricity. Downstream was 63% of consolidated sales, while downstream gas accounted for 35% and upstream for 1%. Worth highlighting here, the budget for Petrom was based on an average Brent oil price of $60 per barrel, with management recently changing its guidance to $40 per barrel. And also the sensitivity of a $1 change in the Brent price per barrel impacted the company to the extent of 20 million euros. Moving on to the next slide, slide 13, we also show some updates on the third largest holding, Bucharest Airport. ACI Europe, the airport industry trade body, estimates that European airports would see a decrease of 28% in the number of passengers in 2020 compared with a business-as-usual scenario. The estimates assume that current flight restrictions will be lifted by the end of April and be followed by a gradual recovery in demand for air travel. Based on one of the company's scenarios, Bucharest airports could still be slightly profitable in 2020, considering an air traffic decline of 45% compared to 2019. Obviously, this is a very dynamic situation, and we continue to monitor the company very closely, but it looks like it is going to be a very challenging year for the company. On slide 14, we show a summary of the 2019 financials for the fund's top 10 portfolio holdings that have submitted their 29 financials for shareholders' approval. Moving on to the corporate action section, I'd like to invite Marius to comment. Thanks, Marius.
Thank you, Johan. On slide 16, we outlined the fund's distribution since we've started managing the fund for 2020. As you can see, we've included the estimation for the gross dividend approved by the fund shareholders during the 28th April annual shareholder meeting, the payment for which will start on the 1st of July. And the gross estimation is based on the number of paid shares, excluding buybacks as of 8th of May, which is around 419 million RON. We have also spent around 130 million RON on daily share buybacks, and we will continue to do so for the foreseeable future, as we intend to remain in the market every single day, acquiring the maximum number of shares, 25% of the average trading volume. The yield so far is 10.1%, and we expect that to continue to go up as we continue to buy back shares in the market. Moving on to the next slide, 17, we outlined the details of the most recent buyback programs. At the beginning of this year, we started the 11th buyback program, and so far up to 8th of May, we have acquired 315.5 million shares out of the 800 million shares that can be repurchased during this program. The cancellation of the treasury shares acquiring during the last program executed throughout 2019 was already approved by the fund shareholders in the last shareholder meeting and is currently ongoing. This brings the total number of shares that we have repurchased to over 6.56 billion or 47.7 of the fund's share capital as of the listing of the fund back in January 2011. On slide 18, we include the details on the fund's annual net dividends and the dividend payout ratios for the top 10 portfolio companies as of 30 April 2020. And these are based on the figures that were either approved by the company's shareholders or submitted for shareholder approval. Overall, the annual dividend from Hidroelectrica is lower at 250 million RON compared to last year's dividend income of 359 million. One important thing to mention here, given the company's strong balance sheet, we have requested a special dividend of RON 750 million to be decided in the annual shareholder meeting, which will take place towards the end of May. And the fund's share, if that will be approved, would be around 150 million RON. On the next slide, slide 19, we show the summary of the total dividend income received from the portfolio companies in the last 8 years. For 2020, we've also included the 523 million special dividend, which was approved and most of which has been paid by NL during February 2020. Moving on to the next slide, slide 20, we show the details of the 2020 dividend of RON 0.0642 per share, which was approved by the fund shareholder. And as you have noticed, the end of April NAV is X this dividend, as it was booked as a dividend payment was booked as a liability. And the share price X date will be on the 9th of June 2020, with the registration date of 10th of June, and payment will start on 1st July 2020. Moving on to the following slide, slide 21, we have included some details on our business response to address the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. The business continuity plan has been activated to protect and minimize the risk to our employees while also ensuring no disruption to business operations and the management of the fund. 90% of the employees that we have in Bucharest have been working remotely since mid-March. And the fund's business operation continued to be fully functional. We have also temporarily suspended all business travel and all movements of employees in accordance with the rules that have been imposed by the Romanian authorities. Of course, communication with the fund shareholders has taken place smoothly under the new circumstances. We have continued to provide regular updates via the current reports, conference calls, virtual conferences that have been organized during the last couple of months, and also the updates on the fund's website. The only restriction that temporarily still applies is that shareholders are no longer to visit the fund's office. Now, I would like to turn to Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, to comment on the Q1 2020 results on the next slide. Cătălin?
Thank you, Marius. On the balance sheet development, we can see an increase in the cash and cash equivalent position, and this is the net result of the dividend collected from the NL companies and the payments made under the buyback programs, including the settlement of the tender offer. The most important development in the period is, of course, the evaluation of the portfolio. The significant decrease comes mainly from the listed holding, the Petrom, and also the revaluations of the unlisted holdings based on the market multiples, as mentioned by Johan earlier. Moving on to the next slide, we can see the unaudited loss of the fund for the period of 1.9 billion alone, and this is again driven by the fair value change of the portfolio holdings, partially netted off by the dividends from the NL companies of 522 million.
Thank you, Cătălin. At this point, we would like to open it up for any questions that you have.
Thank you, sir. If you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask an audio question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. As a reminder, that is star 1 to ask an audio question. There appears to be no questions in the queue at this time. As another reminder, it's star 1. We will now take our first question from Liliana Uprata from Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for the presentation. You were mentioning before a tender offer with the money received from NL. Could you just clarify, there's not that much cash, so if we take out the dividends to be paid, there's not that much cash left. So what should we expect going forward on this issue?
Hi, Liliana. So there was already the tender offer that we did that was completed at the beginning of March. So that was 280 million RON, so 278. And at the moment, we are in the process of, well, hopefully over the next few months, collecting the dividends that will be coming in as regular dividends from the portfolio companies. And as you have seen, so for example, with Hydroelectrica, the request for additional dividends to be paid. So we're currently assessing what the best options and avenues will be for further returns to shareholders, and what excess cash we will have will be implemented. Will be distributed in accordance with the discount control mechanism and the distribution policy. Waiting for some additional cash to come in. In the meantime, making some plans, and it will be paid out to shareholders.
We will now take our next question from Stefan Lungi from Wood. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. Just two quick questions on Hydroelectrica. The first one, could you comment on your expectations for this year's result given the drought and the impact on production? If I look at April-May production, it's down 20-30% compared to last year. And then I've seen the company made a proposal for the 5-year CapEx plan based on the Ministry of the Economy request. And I can see a CapEx of 7.6 billion for 2020 to 2025, and overall CapEx 26 billion, which obviously it looks like a big number. But for the 7.6 billion for the next 5 years, is that like roughly in line with what you expected before, or do you think that's quite a sharp increase? That's all.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. So. Expectations for Hydro this year, certainly we do expect it to be a tougher year than 2019, and that has already been evident by what we've seen in terms of pricing and volumes already in the first quarter and going into the second quarter. So we've seen a decline also in electricity consumption at the end of the first quarter going to the beginning of the second quarter. But given the nature and the structure of the Romanian production, with a large part of it still coming from Cheltenia, there is a very high marginal cost of production, which has led to the forward prices still being at a relatively elevated level, coupled with the expectation of a more challenging year from a hydrology perspective. The output we do expect will be lower, but at the same time we don't expect such a massive impact on the electricity prices for the remainder of the year. So in an extreme scenario, what has been indicated by management is that the electricity output could reduce to levels previously seen around 2011-2012, which is around 12 terawatt hours compared to the 14.8 that was produced last year. So that's on the production and on the CapEx plans. What you have to keep in mind is that these are, I don't want to say pie in the sky numbers, but these are obviously all the potential projects and ideas that Hydro could potentially get involved in. But what I'd like to emphasize very strongly is that any such project would still have to be approved by shareholders. It would still be subject to making economic sense for the company and for its shareholders. So I wouldn't immediately start plugging these figures into any forecast for Hydroelectrica. So I would be very conservative in terms of accommodating this plan. Stefan, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, that was very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks again for the presentation.
Welcome.
As a reminder, to ask a telephone question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will now take our next question from Deepinder Bhatia from Bayard Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much. My questions were around Hydroelectrica, and looks like they've been covered in Stephen's question just a moment ago. The only remaining question I have in that regard is to do with the proportion of the subsidized versus commercially priced sales this quarter. It appears that the number was about a trillion versus 3.6 in total. And my question is, how should we expect this to evolve in the course of the rest of this year? Is that the approximate proportion we should expect, or any front loading? What's the total number? Any color on that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Hi, Deepinder. Yeah, we're still waiting for the announcement of the allocation for the second half of the year, but I would assume it would be more or less in line with an annualized figure as suggested by the first quarter number. Marius, I don't know if you have any more up-to-date information.
No, I think we're all waiting to see the exact numbers here, and we will update shareholders accordingly.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. That was my only question.
Thanks, Deepinder. Take care.
We will now take a follow-up question from Liliana Kupramla from Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, actually it's a follow-up question regarding what you are saying before. So you'd still expect Hidroelectrica to deliver volumes to the regulated market in the second half. Do you see any chances that the regulator would decide to liberalize market starting July, or you don't really expect that to happen?
Well, we would always advocate for a complete deregulation of the market as soon as possible, and we have been doing so. At the moment, doesn't seem to be the case, but yeah, one could always be pleasantly surprised. What has been clear is that the price caps and the interference through the legislation and by the regulator hasn't helped the end consumer. So the arguments are very strong for not persisting with the regulated market for any longer than is necessary. But based on the current information that we have, basically we're waiting for the allocation for the second half. But of course, nothing beyond 2020. Ilana, you were asking another question, so you were breaking up there.
Yes, but I wasn't sure if you could still hear me. So regarding these monthly adjustments to the NAV, should we expect them monthly now? Actually, you've done adjustments in March and now in April. How are you going to look at this going forward? What should we expect going forward, basically?
Yeah, so a very, very good point. So we were in a position where we had to do we felt it was absolutely necessary to reflect the quite substantial market movements, also in the sense of its impact on the portfolio. So that's why we did the update at the end for the end of March NAV. So basically, this was still based on the September 2019 financials that we've used for the December NAV, and basically the only update there was to take into consideration the evolution of the market, so through adjusted multiples. So we did the same for the end of April. And we'll continue doing the same on a monthly basis until the situation until the situation stabilizes. So the same for May, and then what we are targeting for June is an interim update on the financials for the eight largest unlisted holdings. But this will be based on updated financials provided by the company as of 31 March 2020. So it'll be more up-to-date financials and also with up-to-date market multiples in line with the current approach. From there on, it remains to be seen how volatile the market will be at that point. But if the current volatility continues, the intention is to continue updating on a regular basis in order to reflect the most the most recent developments and its impact on the portfolio. Under normal circumstances, however, we were doing, as you would know, the December update and more recently the June updates to reflect the interim performance of the company as well.
Thank you. And so you're not going to do an adjustment in May, for example, taking into account the December figures, because now
no.
You already have the. So it's going to be in June, and it's going.
Go ahead.
It's only going to be in June, and you're going to take into account already the first quarter results.
Correct. Yeah. So it's actually quite an involved process with the assistance of KPMG in terms of collecting financial information from the company. So it's not simply a question of taking what is provided as is released by the company. So there's quite a lot of information sharing between the valuator and the company itself in order to be in a position where they can assess the quarterly numbers. So it's not a very simple procedure just to update it on a monthly basis. So that's why for June we'll be using the March financials.
Great, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a telephone question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will now take our next question from Case Isas Rap. Panu from BCR, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. My question is if you have any feeling on the recent development in the logistics companies in your portfolio, I mean the airports and especially the port. I mean, did we see some major traffic disturbance in the port? I mean, obviously in the airport, yes, but if you have any comment on this company.
As a matter of fact, in the Constanza Ports, which is the largest port holding company in the portfolio, we have not seen a major impact on the either on the volumes or the financials of the business as yet. Of course, as I said earlier, it is a very dynamic situation, so we continue to monitor very closely, but surprisingly enough, not a major impact as yet. For Bucharest Airport, the situation is completely different, however, where borders are for all intents and purposes closed. We've got a very limited number of flights arriving and departing. So the bulk of the impact was already felt in April, with the lockdown starting halfway through March, which is obviously a very very concerning picture. But what gives us some comfort is that the company continues to be in a net cash position, and that the management we are encouraging the management and supporting the management in order to take necessary steps to reduce costs as much as possible, given the current circumstances. Of course, the end of the situation is still uncertain, when exactly normal operations will be resumed. But yeah, I from public information. So if you look at the Bucharest Airport's website, you can see the number of flights that are arriving and departing on a daily basis. And it's roughly speaking about one-tenth of what it used to be, or at least it was for the month of April. So that should give you a picture of how significant the impact is.
Thank you.
There appears to be no further questions, so I'd like to turn the conference back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for attending our call and for your time today. If you have any additional questions, feel free to reach out directly, and have a good weekend.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.